The message you're about to listen to was preached at Four Square Gospel Church Dominion Center, pastored by Sam O. Salau. Be blessed as you listen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we be seated in God's presence? Turn to your right and your left and welcome someone to church. Tell someone you're welcome to church. Good to see you again. You can ask, how's your week been? We've been studying on the Word of God. Studying the Word of God, and we're still going to continue this series of the Word of God because we can't study too much on the Word. The Word of God to a believer is like food. It's like food. You take this food from time to time, gives you strength. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were studying the benefits of studying the Word of God. Last week, the man of God told us how to put on and how to put off. Started by studying by separating the three forms of the word: the spoken word, the written word, and the word as a person. We're still going to be continuing tonight to check people's response to the Word of God. People's response to the Word of God. How do people respond to God's word whenever they hear the Word of God being spoken? Jesus himself told this parable, quite a lengthy parable. We all know it, so I may not read all of the verses of the scriptures because we all know it, so I can have time to dwell on the explanation. This is found in the book of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, I'll start reading from verse 4. The same account is written in Matthew chapter 13. And I think Mark chapter 4 or chapter 5. Mark chapter 4 or 5. But we'll read from the account of Luke that is in chapter 8. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We'll read from account of Luke that is in chapter 8. And we'll start reading from verse 4. Luke chapter 8 from verse 4. The Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." Jesus always likes speaking in parable, and we know that every time he speaks, he looks for a way to pass across the information he wants to pass across by speaking about things they can see, things they can relate with, things they are familiar with. So he teaches them with a parable. It's one thing teaching theoretically, it's another thing teaching practically. Using parable will mean that it was teaching practically, brought people down to earth to understand the nitty-gritty of the word was sharing with them. So the Bible says all of them came together, much people were gathered, and he spake to them by a parable. Verse 5, this is the parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Everybody say one. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 6. And some fell upon a rock. Everybody say two. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Everybody say three. Three. Verse 8 now says, and other fell on a good ground and sprang up and bear fruit 100-fold. This is the fourth one. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Every time you see Jesus say, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," mark what he's saying. Every time you see Jesus say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," mark what he's saying. And every time he says, "He that has ear, let him hear," mark what he's saying. Those three words are very important. One of these days, we'll just do Bible study on those three words. Every time he says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." Every time he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Every time he says, "He that has ear, let him hear." Mark those words. Now, these fruits were spread on the ground by a sower. The same sower. The same seed, but different soils. The same sower was sowing the same seed, but different soil. So what was responsible for the outcome of the seed, what was responsible for the harvest, is not the sower. What was responsible for the harvest is not the seed. What was responsible for the harvest is the soil. Because it's the same sower, it's the same seed, but different soil. The same sower, the same seed, different soil. So whether the sower likes it or not, it cannot influence the outcome of the harvest. Because what will be responsible for the harvest is the soil. Even if the sower wants plenty to come out from a particular soil, it can't affect it, because his is to sow. Whether the seed likes it or not, the seed cannot influence the outcome. The sower has seed, good seeds. All of them are good seeds. But good seeds brought out different harvests. Not because the seeds themselves wanted to do well in one place and they didn't want to do well in one place, but because the soil determines the kind of harvest you get from this soil. And the disciples ask him, saying, "What might this parable be?" The disciples too were smart. They saw Jesus said, "He that has ear, let him hear." So they came to meet him. The inner cackles. And you know that most times Jesus will speak parable to the whole congregation. And when he gets to the inner cackles, the disciples will have better explanation of that parable. So this was the inner cackles meeting now. Like you will say, the workers meeting. And now call them. They ask Jesus, "What does this mean? You told us about four types of soil. Told us about the same sower, the same seed, but four types of soil. What's the first type of soil?" Verse 5. Verse 6. The first type of soil in verse 6, I said, mention one that time. You were not following me. What's the first one? The rock. Okay, by the wayside, verse 5. The second one, verse 6, the rock. Verse 7, the third one, thorns. Verse 8, the last one, good ground. So there is wayside, there is rock, there is thorn, and then there is good ground. There is wayside. Can we type it out? Number 1, wayside. Number 2, rock. Number 3, thorns. Number 4, good ground. So these are the four types of soil that the same soil sowed the same seed, but did not get the same result. So they came to Jesus and asked him, "What does this mean?" In verse 8 says, and he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." So what we want to learn today is not just a parable, it's the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Everybody say mystery. So the kingdom of God is a mystery. It's a mystery because you can't explain it. If you want to go to America now, you go to the passport office, you get your passport, you go to the embassy, you get your visa, and you pay your transport, and you get there. That's not a mystery. But the kingdom of God, you just say, "Lord, I give my life to you," and you have entered the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is a mystery. You can't explain it. You just get in it. So it says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. What is the seed? The word of God. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." This is the first set of people who hear the word of God. The same person, the same pastor comes and teaches the same word of God from the same scripture. And the first set of people are the one that I will call the unconcerned. The unconcerned. They are not concerned about the word. When they hear the word, the moment they hear the word, the devil comes and takes the seed away from their heart. Now, this is the most terrible case to be, the unconcerned. The other two, the rock, the thorn, still grew, still sprang up. This one did not grow at all. The moment the word enters into his heart, the same moment the devil takes it away. There was this song we used to sing when we were small. If you want to close church service, it's a Yoruba song. Say, Bobo eko ti ako ninu ile iwe wa ma se jeke ye isu ko sa je lokan wa. How many of us have heard this song before? Only me. I went to a RAS school. It says that all the lessons we have learned, don't let the bed of the devil come and pick the seed away from our heart. So the devil can pick seeds of the word of God away from someone's heart. He comes to church regularly, comes to Sunday school, comes to Bible study, comes to worship service, attends all services. But as he hears the word from his right ear, the word goes out from the left ear without having any impact in his life. And his life is not different from somebody who hears it. So every time the word comes, his own kind of soil is that one by the wayside that birds come and pick it. It's not as if he doesn't hear the word. He hears the word from time to time. But the word is not producing fruit in his life. There's nothing the pastor says on the altar that he will do. The pastor says, study the word of God. He hears, he won't study. We have been on this issue of the word of God for a long time now, for almost about a month and a half now. And then he hears from time to time. Everybody takes steps to read the word of God. At least read one chapter every day. Since we have started, he hears. As he hears in his right ears, he goes in his left ear. The words are falling on waysides in his heart. He is not concerned. The word cannot change him. Because the word is not growing in his life. It takes the word to germinate for it to change a man. But this word is just falling on the heart. It's not germinating. The word is not having any effect. It's not making any impact. He's there listening to the word. Facially, he gets excited when he hears it. When the word comes, it stimulates him. It motivates him. But the word of God is not just for motivation or stimulation. The word of God is for transformation. If it's not transforming you, it is not effective. There are so many big churches where their pastor preaches wonderful messages. And you see their members, their lives are not changing. And you are wondering why. This is the reason. The word is falling on the wayside in their hearts. Ask yourself. Every time you come to church and you hear the word of God, what fruit does it produce in your life? If it's not producing fruits, you have to be careful. Your heart may be a wayside heart. Now, if time will permit us to check, after we have checked all these four types of heart, to now check how this heart will affect your relationship with God and will affect the things you desire God to do for you. So these are the unconcerned. You look at their life, the works of the flesh are still manifesting in their life. Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. All the works of the flesh mentioned there is still in their life. They hear the word constantly, but the word is not changing them. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh manifest, which are these, adultery. As a believer, he still commits adultery. And he hears the word from time to time. Fornication. Is a believer, Christian brother, Christian sister, he still commits fornication. He doesn't hears the word, but he's not changing it. You know, fornication is a different level. There's the low-level fornication. Low-level fornication where a boy meets a girl and says, let's commit sin, and say, I know how will I commit sin with you. I'm a pastor. I hear the word of I'm a pastor's daughter. I hear the word of God every Sunday. I'm not going to commit fornication with you. That's low-level fornication. Another level of fornication is, come and sleep with me. I'll give you 1,000 naira. Say me, 1,000 naira. What kind of insult is that one? 1,000 naira. Are you crazy? Another level of fornication, if somebody meets a young lady, spiritual, sound in the spirit, and the person parks beside her, parks with Omar Jeep, and winds down the glass. Hello, baby, how are you? Says, fine, sir. Sir, you live around this area? So there's a vacancy in my office. I work in NNPC Chevron. Do you like to work in Chevron? Take my card and give me a call. And she takes the card. And the man gives me a call and says, come and meet me in the office tomorrow. Okay, fill that form. Take for your transport fare. Take this 250,000 naira for your transport fare. Say, come again next week. I will follow up for you. The girl comes the next week. Say, take this 250,000 naira for your transport fare. Then the girl comes the third. They say, see, the third week the girl comes. Say, we are still processing your employment too. But since the first day I set my hands on you, my mind is telling me that you are going to be my wife. Eh?
Do you mind if we marry? Well, the girl said, me and you, what is our problem? He said, let us go and pray about it. And if she is not careful, she will begin to sleep with the man before they marry.
Fornication. Works of the flesh manifested in all of their lives. It says, uncleanness, lasciviousness, verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. If you don't understand which one is witchcraft and idolatry, I don't have time to do all of this one tonight. But you know what is hatred? Believer that is bitter against others. Variance, emulations, wrath, anger, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, the last verse. Envies. Now, is a believer.
How many of you know believers who are jealous? They get jealous of this. Is the word of the Lord is falling on the wayside in their lives. Envies, murders, drunkenness. And I know you know that drunkenness is not just about drinking beer. Drunkenness is over drinking anything. You go to a party and you see malt everywhere, coke everywhere. You take the first bottle, take the second bottle, take the third bottle, take the fourth bottle, until you begin to run to the toilet while at the party and you are still drinking. That is drunkenness. It's not just about beer. When you take too much to hamper, to destroy the body, the temple of God, that's drunkenness. Revelings and such like. It says this list is not exhaustive. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How many of you know that the book of Romans was written to Christians? The book of Romans was not written to unbelievers. It was written to Christians. And these things are manifesting in their church, just as it's manifesting in all the churches. He said this list is not exhaustive. Continues in Romans chapter 1 verse 29. This is Galatians. Galatians was written to believers. Let's see the one in Romans. Romans chapter 1 verse 29. Romans chapter 1 verse 29, 30, 31. Say, be filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. These are written to believers, and these attitudes are still in their lives. Ask yourself, which of these things we have read are in your life too? And we hear the word of God on a daily basis. What it means is that your heart is a wayside heart. That when the word comes, men get there and tread on it. Or evil birds come and destroy it. That's verse what now? Verse 8. 2 Timothy 4:4 says something I wanted to say. 2 Timothy 4:4. They philosophize the word of God. Somebody can read the word of God, hear the word of God, and then begin to apply philosophy to the word of God. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. The truth is said in church. They turn their ears away from the truth. But they enjoy fables. They turn unto fables. Here's the word of God they hear on Sunday morning. Before they get home, he has forgotten. But when he gets home Sunday afternoon, and he watches one episode of Jennifer. Anything she likes, she goes to get through. Oh, Jennifer. She will not forget that one for 21 years. One episode of she will not forget. That one will enter her heart, fables, and grow like a strong tree in her heart. But the word of God is dead in her heart. 2 Peter 3, verse 5. The unconcerned. They come to church because they just need God to bless them. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. When they hear that word from God, it doesn't affect them. They look for a way to turn the word of God around. For these they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, verse 16. This is the importance of the word of God. But they don't know. They are ignorant of it. They are ignorant of the power of the word of God. Some people just feel that coming to church is just to listen to the pastor. It's just to mark register. God, I have come this week, will bless me. The important thing about church is the word of God. When you take the word of God away from church, the church becomes a social gathering. When you take the Bible, the word of God, away from church, the church becomes a social gathering. Because the church is the only place the word of God is preached in detail. When you go for a social gathering, they don't share the word of God. They sing at social gathering. They clap. They dance at social gathering. Some social gatherings too, they pray before they start. And if they want the word of God, they just say short exhortation, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But where the word of God is dealt with is in the church. And so the essence, the most important part of the service is the word of God. When the unconcerned comes to church, they partake of every other thing they do in church. When it's time to dance, they dance. When it's time to sing, they sing. When it's time to give offering, they give up, they pay their tithe. When it's time for the word of God, they are distracted. When it's time for the word of God, they can come and hide in the children's church or in the conference room. Somebody can lock in the toilet and then say, Shebi, one was sunny, one was sunny. He doesn't understand. The main reason why you are in church is that one. And that's what most people miss, is the unconcerned. Every time the word of God is going on and I see people distracted with other things, I know where the heart of that person is. Say, this one is not concerned, he's not bothered about the word of God, because the word of God makes no difference to him. If you get to the level where the word of God does not excite you, where the word of God does not move you, where the word of God does not push you, motivate you, and you want to hear the more of it, something is wrong. Your heart is a wayside heart. Say a believer who is watching television, and then a known minister comes to share the word. So what if I was that Mekuro Jari MBC Channel 7? His heart is not in the word. Your heart should pant after the word, the way a little child's heart pant after Mr. Big's rice, Abi Chicken Republic's refuel. If I tell my children want to go and refuel, see the way they are excited. It's as if rapture has happened. That's the way your heart should pant after the word of God. That every time you see the word of God, you are excited. You want to see it. I want to hear the more of the word of God. But some people's heart pant after own video much more than it pants after the word of God. Some people's heart pant after Manchester and Man U game than it pants after the word of God. Strong believer will leave his house to go to 10, 20 miles to go and watch UEFA championship in the evening. We'll not get home on time. We'll leave office on time to go and watch UEFA. I will not get home on time. The same believer will have an excuse not to come for Bible study. His heart is a wayside heart. Ask your neighbor, what kind of heart do you have? Ask him for me, what kind of heart do you have? They are the unconcerned. They are not moved by the word of God. They just hear it. Doesn't make any difference to them. They just hear it. It doesn't move them. It doesn't motivate them. The moment we share the grace, ask some people, what did we learn in church today? He has forgotten. His heart is not there. Some people can be in church during message and they are ministering to the whole world. What does not concern them? Message is going on is on WhatsApp or is on Facebook. Message is going on. He's not moved by the word of God. The word of God cannot change him. And don't forget the illustration I told you the other time. Everything you want from God, God will give you through the person of Jesus. That's one form of the word, the person of Jesus. But to have access to the person of Jesus, you need the spoken word. And to get the spoken word, you need to study the written word. Now, here we have believers who will not study the written word. And because of that, does not have the spoken word in his mouth. And as such, cannot come to Jesus and get what he wants. So most of us, the thing we say, we call prayer, are empty words. Matthew chapter 6 calls them vain repetition. Because they lack the power. They lack the power that makes Jesus attend to your request. Vain repetition. Oluwa she she oya she she bigger bigger bemiga Jesus bemiga bigger bemiga bemiga bemiga. God says bemiga benga is not your problem. Leave benga alone. Be conversant with the word. Be filled with the word. Let it produce in your life. The things you want will naturally come to you. So I've seen the first type of the word, the wayside art. The same sower, the same seed. The same sower, the same seed. The first type of soil is the wayside. You'll be numbered among those who are in church because he's present in church. You'll be numbered among those who attended the prayer meeting because he was present in vigil. But when it is time to give testimonies, you will not be one of them. What's the point? Wayside. The thing came and he left the same way he came. May have an effect on him. It's like somebody who is wearing a raincoat. You know what raincoat is? When I was young, there was this very thick raincoat that my mother bought for me. That raincoat was like the armor that Goliath was wearing. So thick, so heavy. So when somebody is wearing raincoat, only his face is showing. You are now pouring water on the person with a kettle. Pour a kettle of water on this person. Will the person be wet? The water will just be going away. That's where some of us are in church. That when the word of God is coming, it doesn't get into us. It just falls off. 2 weeks ago, I was telling us that it takes, at normal talking speed, just the way I'm talking like this, it takes 72 hours to finish the Bible. Normal talking speed. Was it 2 weeks ago, 1 month ago? Four Tuesdays ago. At normal talking speed like this, the way I'm talking, you want to read the Bible and you sit down. You say you don't want to sleep. You sit down with it. You start reading from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. In 72 hours, you finish reading the Bible up to Revelation. How many days is 72 hours? 3 days. If it takes 3 days to finish the Bible, and somebody is a believer for 1 year, he has not finished the Bible, he doesn't like the word of God. It's a wayside art he has. Somebody is a believer for 2-3 years, he has not found 3 days to finish the Bible. He doesn't like the Bible, the word of God. He's just deceiving us. So the first art, the Bible, Jesus himself said, is the wayside. Verse 12. Those by the wayside, Luke chapter 8, verse 12, are they that hear. They add the word of God quite all right. Add everything in church. But you know, hearing is different from listening. Hearing is different from listening. Listening is more active than hearing. Okay. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Who takes the word away from their hearts? The devil. I ask you that question 3 times. Who takes the word away from their hearts? The devil. For the 3rd time, who takes the word away from their hearts? The devil. What it means is this. Every time the word of God is going on and there is a distraction, it is not that person that is distracting you. Who is this distracting you? The devil. He just used that person. So every time the word of God is going on, he says, bros, let me quickly see you for 5 minutes. Stay. That person is not the one pulling you out. Who is pulling you out? The devil. Every time the word of God is going on and somebody tells you, look at this, your phone beside you. You have not even checked the phone in the past 20 minutes that pastor has been preaching on. Pick that phone and check your WhatsApp message. Pick it. Who is ministering to you? The devil. So the devil comes to your heart and take the word away. Why will the devil do it? He has only one purpose. So that the word will not bear fruit. So you not believe and be saved. That's the purpose of the devil. So everything the devil does to distract you when the word of God is going on, he is to ensure that you will not believe and you will not get that which God wants you to get. So for 1 month, I've been saying, let's start studying the scriptures, let's start reading the Bible on a daily basis, everybody start studying, and then you have been hearing and you have not done it. Who is not allowing you to do it? Is it God or the devil? You know the answer now. Okay. That's verse 12. So the first soil is the one that falls by the wayside. The second one, verse 13, is the one that falls on the rocky hill. Jesus explains those ones to us too. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. This one is a bit different from those other ones too. This one hard, those ones too hard. But these ones received the word. Those ones did not receive the word. The one by the wayside did not receive. You only add. But this one received the word and received it with joy. Ah! Service was powerful today. If you see what the pastor preached, I can mention to you everything word by word, and he remembers everything. He's excited with the word. The word is meant to produce fruit. But these have no roots, which for a while believed. They believe for a little time. And in time of temptation, fall away. These ones are the ones I will call the persecuted. They are the persecuted. They believed, but the word has no roots. That means the word grew a bit. For it to have no root, we saw something growing. So it grew a bit, but it has no root. And when the strength of a tree lies in its root, the strength of a tree lies in its root. If a tree is so big on the surface and the root is shallow, it's easy to pull it and it will fall down. But if a tree is small, very tiny like this, not fatter than my hand, and the root is deep in the ground, it's difficult to kill that tree. These ones are the word of God. They got excited with it. The tree wanted to grow, but it has no root. So little temptation came and defeated them. These are the persecuted. They want to serve God. They want to produce fruit with the word they have had. But the devil knows that he cannot steal the word from their heart. So he sets the people around them against them that they persecuted. The people around them can send the father against him, can send the friends against him, set people around him to make it difficult for him to make the word produce fruit in his life. So the devil looks at him and says, this guy is about getting fruit. How can I checkmate him? In the game of chess, you are looking for how to checkmate. You just bring one person who brings a rule, who brings an order, who brings a command, and that command nullifies everything because he can't resist that command. He has no root. Why is it that he has no root? He only depended on the word he had. He is not like the Berean Christian who will go home and study more and study more and study more. And while he's studying, his root is penetrating the ground. He just hears the word and he jumps up with it. It's like when you are cooking with firewood. You are cooking with firewood and you just pour small petrol on the firewood. What will happen? Just say, wah! Everything will go up. A hot fire will come. Will that fire last? 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Naturally go down. That's the way they are. He had the word. He received that word. But he will not go home and build up on the word that he has received. He wants to run 1,000 kilometers on the strength of a 1 minute word. It cannot happen. That's the problem we have with most believers today. Come to church on Sunday. Message is 45 minutes. And there's 24 hours in one day. So the 45 minutes message he hears on Sunday is the strength of that 45 minutes that will take him through the whole of Sunday. The strength of that 45 minutes that will take him through the whole of Monday. If he does not come for Bible study, it's the strength of that 45 minutes that will take him through the whole of Tuesday, through the whole of Wednesday, through the whole of Thursday. Meanwhile, every hour, the devil is attacking him with all manner of information on WhatsApp, on social media, on Facebook. And the devil is giving him like a 4 or 5 hours of information on daily basis. And he's supposed to combat 4 or 5 hours of information from the external world on daily basis with just 45 minutes of information that he had on Sunday. Can he go? He cannot go. He will fail. So there is no root.
Somebody can stay from Sunday to Sunday and wants to leave this wicked world 7 days on the strength of a 45 minute word he had on Sunday. It will not work. You will have no root. You will be excited and motivated by the word, but he has not taken time to plant himself well. If you want somebody to travel from here to Kaduna and you give him a car, very solid car, tear rubber, 2019 Toyota Camry, full options, alloy rim, everything set. Say, go to Kaduna for me. And you give him 4 liters of fuel to go to Kaduna. Where will the car reach before he stop? Redemption Camp. Iyanakwaja.
The car is set. Everything is okay with this car. And he's excited. He starts the car and he starts to move again. But there is no route. Before he gets to the Redemption Camp, he will tanyun, the car will stop.
That's what is happening to so many believers.
You want to run to Kaduna on the strength of a 45 minutes walk.
It doesn't work like that.
So these are the persecuted. Little persecution from friends, from families, little persecutions will just begin to uproot the tree, uproot the world in their life.
It's like when you just plant beans. They gave my children some practical to do. Put cotton wool and put beans on it so that the beans will now grow. When you just plant beans like that, the beans will just come with one small stalk, one small leaf like this.
Do you need strength to uproot that one? Just with one hand like this.
That's the way temptation, small temptation, embarrasses some believers. Because they don't have the depth. I hope we can finish this tonight. Because they don't have the depth of the word in their life. So the second ones are the persecuted. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2.
They are persecuted. It's not a sin to be persecuted though. But they easily fall for the persecution. Because they don't have the strength to resist it.
For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Two sets of people that have the gospel. There is the first part, the us. There is the second part, the them. There is the first part, the us. The second part, the them. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them.
So there are some people that the word of God will profit. And there are some people that the word of God will not profit. Can you imagine that? They will come to church on Sunday morning. Some people will profit by the word. Some people will not profit by the word. We all mark attendance in church, but not everybody will profit by the word.
There are some that will hear the word, but the persecution outside there will not make the word bear fruit in their life. It will not mix with faith in their heart. Because they have not studied the world to know so much more about the word that they are running with.
The third set
are the unconcerned. The tempted. The first one is the unconcerned. The second one is the persecuted. The third ones are the tempted. Verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns. The persecuted is different from the tempted. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, this one too heard, all the three of them heard, go forth. That means go forth means it grew a bit too. Just like the last one too grew. But this one, after it grew a bit, are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection.
These ones will hear the word too. They're excited when they hear the word. And the word will look like it's growing, it goes forth. Looks like it's growing and also looks like it wants to bear fruit.
As in the word will grow. It grows to the extent of bearing fruit. But it will not bear the fruit of perfection.
You will see the sign that, this is fruit. Oh. This is fruit. The fruit is coming. But that fruit will never go to perfection.
They are what I call the tempted. Because they are choked. What are they choked with? They are choked by material things. They are choked by the chaos of this world. He wakes up in the morning. He knows that he needs to pray to God in the morning. He knows that he needs to read the Bible in the morning. But the chaos of this world. Because he works on the island and he must leave the house 5 o'clock to get to the island. Chaos of this world. Wealth, fame, material things will not allow the word to grow in their hearts. Group one, the wayside. Rushing our time now. Group two, the rock. Group three, the thorns. Which one is better out of the three of them? But at least this one even also showed that it wants to grow. It's not better than the other two. Now talked about the last one in verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart having heard the word they keep it. Everybody say keep it. They did not just hear the word. They keep the word and then bear fruit with patience. Know what it means to keep the word? You hear the word on Sunday service, you get home, you want to see what I've heard again. That thing we had in church today, can it be so? See where the pastor read. Are there other scriptures that can connect with this? And you begin to connect scriptures together. You enter from Genesis, you come out in Job. Enter from Job, come out in Nehemiah. From Nehemiah, you enter New Testament, you come out in Acts of the Apostle. And you are keeping the word. Then you are excited about the word. You are studying more about the word. On Tuesday, you study about it. Wednesday, you study about it. You are keeping the word. You begin to bear fruit with patience. Small, small is bearing fruit. Verse 16. Verse 8. Qualifying that verse 16, no, verse 8 now says, and other fell on good ground and sprang up. That verse 15 did not tell us that he sprang up. He said he kept the word in verse 15. It says he kept the word and then bear fruit with patience. But if you now read the initial story in verse 8, he said he sprang up. Keeping the word was growing in him. The word was growing in him. And as he was growing, he now started bearing fruit 100-fold. And this is the state that God expects all believers to be. The state at which the word bears fruit in your heart. The word is not just heard. The word is not just listened to. The word is kept. The word is researched. The word is studied on. Studied so much on until it begins to bear fruit. Bear fruit. Bear fruit in your life. If it has not gotten to the place where it's bearing fruit, keep at it. And still keep keeping at it. Keep at it. And still keep keeping, because the word of God cannot fail. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the jot of his word will not pass away. The word of God cannot fail. He says he has highly exalted his word more than himself. That's the value God himself placed on the word. How are we believers who place so much emphasis on the word of God, as much as God is placing on the word himself? Say he has lifted his word far above himself. He didn't say that about any other thing, no. He didn't say that about prayer. He did not say God has lifted prayer far above himself, so you cannot hold him by prayer. Some people talk about the prayer they call tachology. Know what they call tachology prayer? Say what God does not want to do, if you tackle with him, he will do it. Say tachology. Say he doesn't want to do it, but you will tackle. God, I will die in your neck if you don't do it. Say die now. Die, they will bury you. Want to threaten God? He cannot be threatened. Say tachology prayer. Say push. Pray until something happens. But the Bible says he has lifted his word far above himself. The kind of power that prayer does not have, the word of God has. Do I say that again? The
the kind of power that prayer does not have, the word of God has. Prayer is like going to the court. You have a case, and the judge says, where are your lawyers? Say, I don't have any lawyer. Just have mercy on me. Just have mercy on me. You may go to jail, even if you have a good case. But the word is like, you have a good case, and then it says, where is your lawyer? And your lawyer stands up confidently. And it says, this kind of case has happened before in year 2017, section 5, subsection 2, according to, and this was how they judge it, and because of this, my client is not wrong. He's not, you will stay where you are, you will be smiling that yes, and the judge himself will shake his head. Say, this person knows what he's saying because he has seen it in the word. If it is in the word, you can lay claim to it. But most of us don't even know whether it is there or not. And that's our problem. So believers' attitude to the word. We have the unconcerned. Kukomi, no concern me. That some people will even miss service and it will not concern them. Miss service, oh, and it's not concerned. It's the unconcerned. He's not feeling bad for missing any word. He has missed the word for the day. And it's not as if he will come and copy the message and listen to it. And it's not as if he will sit down on his own and say, I've missed service on Sunday. I will stay for 4 hours to study the word. You will not say, I've missed Bible study on Tuesday. I will stay for 3 hours to study the word. He is not concerned. Till the next day comes again, no word again. May you not live that kind of life in the name of Jesus. The only way a believer can overcome in this age is the word of God. There's so much temptations. So much temptation that in my father's days, there were no temptations. No. You have to go and look for temptation yourself in my father's day. You have to go and look for temptation yourself. Today, temptation are running after you everywhere. In my father's day, when you see a lady on the street who wears mini skirt that is just as low as this place, a little bit above his knee, everybody is telling her, everybody is making jest of her. They will shout on her. I remember when I was in Uniben, a lady entered there, one of the hostel there, to go and minister. And the way she went to her boys' hostel to minister, and she was wearing mini skirt. See the way they shouted on her, screamed on her, she ran out. She could not minister. She ran back to her hostel. In my father's day, you want to watch pornography, you have to carry yourself to one corner to go and buy the VHS, slot it in and sit down and watch it. You have to go and look for temptation. But in this age, you don't have to look for temptation. It's all around you. Temptation is the one looking for you. And David says, how can a young man make his way straight, make his way pure? By giving attention to the word of God. And that's the word of God that so many of us are not concerned about. Let's bow down and talk to God in 1 minute. Holy Spirit, give me the right attitude to your word.
Thank you for listening to this message. We are sure you are blessed by it. If you would like to contact us, our address is 102 St. Fimbus Road, Akoka, Lagos. Our phone number is 081-3529-1769. Our email address is fgcdominioncenter@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Facebook at Foursquare Dominion. God bless you.